Well, we're doing a series. We started last week. It started differently than I thought. The Lord woke me up last week at 3:30 on Sunday morning and talked to me about fire. And we got talking about fire last week or some. And, you know, it was one of the things that came from Oral Roberts and a vision that he had where the Lord said his ministers are not preaching with fire in their belly. And in other words, you need to, there needs to be a fire. You can give information out and it can be true. But the effect of the Word of God is the anointing on the speaker. And even with you in general, it's on you. When you share people the Word, if you ain't got much anointing on you, it ain't going to have much of effect. You need to understand. You got to have something in you. And this is one of the things of dealing with confidence and boldness. I'll tell you, when you got fire, and, you know, I talked to the Lord and I told him I got some fire, but I sure want more. Hallelujah. I want, we're going to look at some things in this series on the new, it's a new birth, it's a must. We're going to talk about it. From what the Lord dealt with me, we're going to talk about from the perspective of us as Christians, because many Christians don't know the Word of God concerning the new birth, what it is, what Jesus came to do. Christians, because today it's not preached much. Mostly we have preached today forgiveness of sin. This is what you get, sins forgiven. I'm sorry, if you don't get born again, you ain't going to heaven. I don't care how much forgiveness of sin you got. You must be born again. Jesus said that. And, you know, it's one thing as I always like with John G. Lake, as John G. Lake always said, he said when Jesus made a statement on a subject, he said that was the end to it. He didn't care what anybody else had to say on it. Is number one, to the church today, Jesus is not the first one that people go to. People usually go to their favorite preacher. And they'll say what he said, but what Jesus said is what's right. And we need to understand these things as we as the church, we're dealing, and I said last week, we're preaching to a nation of people in rebellion against God and the things of God. And we have had love preached to the point of puke. Where now people have been deceived to thinking that because God loves them and heard people saying all the time, you know, God loves me the way that I am. I tell you, I want to slap a preacher every time I hear him say that. And I want to slap a Christian every time I hear them say that. Not because I hate him. We need to wake some people up. We're called. One of the things that the Lord talked to me about, we need to understand. You know why? One of the things that Kenneth Hagin said in the last days, God was going to raise up the prophets ministry again. And I don't tell you, most Christians don't want the real prophets ministry. You don't want the real prophets ministry because they speak for God. They don't speak for you. They speak for God. And you know what the prophets ministry was about when you look at the Old Testament? Is when the people got into extreme, God sent the prophet to come and yell at them to drag them over to the other side to where right was. And if God's raising up the prophet's ministry, it's because the church is out of line. And God has to go to an extreme to drag them over to the other side. God's trying to drag the church over. And the church is kicking, crying, screaming, and everything else. Don't like it. And we're preaching a gospel, I said last week, of comfort. We can't have a gospel of comfort. See, the gospel of comfort made people think that they're all right. You know, I learned this when I first got born again. I'd witnessed to people, and I found this out, that people that were in a religion where they felt that they were okay, they weren't a child of God, weren't born again, but their religion told them they're okay, they're the hardest to reach. The church has made people hard to reach by all the sloppy gospel preached, and they're hard because they think they're all right when they're not. Is the Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him this, in the church world, now this is way back yonder, he said there's many conversions and few births. See, many people convert to Christianity but never get born again. We have it today. The Spirit-filled churches are loaded with people who have converted to Christianity. They like the preaching they do. They like the God loves me, get a lot of money, that kind of stuff. That's what they like. They don't like the rest of the gospel. We don't want to hear that. You know, we don't, you know, want to know about that stuff, a light, right life and all that kind of stuff. It's no, tell me I can live like hell and get away with it. Tell me it's all right. And really, that's the gospel, where that's the kind of gospel that's been thrown out here. And people are hard to reach because they've been told that that's true. They haven't been taken to the Bible. It's one of the things we're going to talk around, look at things, because we want to look at what the Bible says as we as Christian, what we are and what we're in. You know, is most Christians today, because of these things aren't dealt with and because of loads of things aren't looked at, because I've gotten born again doesn't mean that I just back away and I don't need to know nothing about salvation, because most Christians aren't walking in the light of their salvation. See, no matter how good, you know, your salvation is, you got to walk in faith in it. And if you're just out here, I'm just a child of God. Yeah, but what's the scripture say about being a child of God? That's what you walk in faith with. That's where you live at. And we need to know, as number one, we need to know what to talk to people about. See, God can't use you to talk to anybody about things that you know don't know about. You need to learn the Word. You need to know the Word. And most Christians don't know the Word. They don't know the Word. They'd like to think they do, but they don't. We know a lot of truths. We wouldn't have all these Christians going to classes to how to witness to people if they knew the Bible. They don't even know anymore how they got saved. I mean, Christians have been dead for so long in their salvation, they can't even tell somebody how to get saved. They don't even know how they did it. They got to go find it out from somebody else. That's just pretty sad. Nobody's ever had to tell me how I got saved. I knew. I've always wondered about that. Somebody went, I don't know how to witness to people. Well, get saved. You'll figure it out. Well, no wonder they can't. Are they saved? They can't witness to it? Do they realize the words out of their mouth? I mean, that's sad. I don't know how to witness to my salvation. Whoa. How much salvation you got? Probably none. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We need to understand this, because of the new birth. The only way to get into the kingdom of God is through birth. That's the only way to enter it. It cannot be getting into any other way. You must be born into it. You can't just come to it on forgiveness of sin. You got to be born. Thank God we receive the forgiveness of sin through the new birth. But this is one of the things that most people don't understand, is the fact of it is we become a new creation. Our forgiveness of sin is not like in the old covenant. The old covenant, God forgave them of sin, but they weren't changed. Through the new birth, our forgiveness is through the new birth, where we actually change nature, and we'll talk about that as we go on. Your nature, your spiritual nature is changed through birth. You're created into being a new being in Christ Jesus, not physically, but spiritually. Now here's what, but understand this. This is all the walk of faith. We come to a God we cannot see. We accept a birth by just believing on Jesus Christ and confessing Him as Lord. We accept that. It's like with me. I've heard people say, well, you know, when I got saved, I had felt like this big weight come off of me. I'm sorry. I didn't feel like any weight come off of me. I didn't feel like nothing came off of me or happened. I walked by faith. I found there's many of the people who said the big weight come off of them, and then they live like hell. So the weight didn't come off of them, it didn't help any. I just knew this the night that I accepted Christ. I just knew. I didn't do it in a church or in any place. I did it in my home. I just knew I made a right decision. I just knew I did the right thing. I just knew me and God were at peace with each other. I just knew it. I just knew it. I knew that He liked me, and I finally got liking Him. So I knew we got, that's all I knew at the time. But there's one thing that I found out. There became a change in my life. Well, that was because of birth. Things that I had tried before. See, you know, I went through all kinds of things where I tried to live a better life and it never worked. But when I got born again, I found things about me changed. What happened is I found things that drove me before didn't drive me anymore. I wasn't driven by those things anymore. I wasn't, I was changed. See, I don't understand people that are always trying to go through the 12-step programs in the Christian world, trying to overcome, trying to get free from what they've been free of. And this is the 12-step program is all about, you know, men trying to get free from men's own things. And it's still, if we don't preach freedom from the Bible, we don't preach freedom from the Word. We preach you get saved and you try to get free. We don't preach a true gospel. We don't preach the freedom. We don't preach, if there's that nature's not changed and you don't preach to men on the spiritual level and only on the physical level, most churches are physical. Most churches use psychology and everything else. They're trying to use the world's procedures to change lives. I am sorry. You know, I was an alcoholic. I was a druggie. I was all those things. You know, I didn't have to go through a 12-step program. Why didn't Ed have to go through a 12-step program to get off alcohol? Why didn't I have to do that if that's what's required to get off? Did I get a better salvation than somebody else? But you know what? You know what was the difference word? I heard the true gospel and most people don't. I heard the gospel from Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said these things. He said that when you get saved, you're free from that stuff. I believed it. I thought it was going to happen. Dumb Ed. Most churches will never preach. You never have. Ministers are afraid to preach it. Well, what if it don't work? That ain't my problem. Some people accept Jesus emotionally and not spiritually. And they never change. They sit in, look, the anointing can give you an emotional experience in church. And you can respond to it emotionally and it'll do nothing for you in the long run and won't do a thing for you. But if you yield to that anointing spiritually, it'll affect you and affect a change in you. That's why some people change and some don't. Some try to respond to the anointing emotionally instead of spiritually. Through their emotions. And today, we have a very emotional church. The church world is emotional out here. That's why, you know, I know you folks aren't very emotional. You wouldn't be here. You can't go by emotion. See, but everybody likes to feel good church. It isn't. We're living in a church world that you can't see the kingdom you're in. See, we're talking about a kingdom here. Now understand, see, we're dealing with nations. You know, America is a nation. It's not a kingdom. So you can't equate the things of God by what America is, which is a real mess today. The church world mostly equates our nation and God's kingdom. And this is why people ain't got it, don't understand. A kingdom's run by one guy, a king. That's why it's called a kingdom. You don't get a vote. On God's kingdom, all the rules are already established. There's no Congress. They're established. You don't get a vote to change the rules. Most of Christianity today changes the rules as they go along. Look at the church world. I mean, you can go back in any churches in their denomination. Look at denominations today. Go back and study them when they started and what they become today. Why? See, they've become their own God. They have changed. Well, see, God's kingdom don't change. God changes not. His rules will be the same 2 billion, trillion, whatever years into the future, His kingdom laws will be identical to what they are today. There will never, when you and I get to heaven, there's not a vote for a Congress and we get to have whatever kind of kingdom we want. That doesn't happen. You don't have a vote in heaven. You don't have one here in God's kingdom and you don't get one. It'll never happen. Why? They're established. But understand, this is the stability of the kingdom. This is what makes it great. Somebody made the rules who is perfect that's smarter than you and me. Glory to God. The church don't admit they're full of a bunch of dummies. God's great. We just get to go for the ride. Hallelujah. Let's enjoy the ride and quit trying to change the church. Quit changing the kingdom. Let's go. He made the rules and they're right. And they are unchangeable. They can't be shaken or moved. What He has promised stands forever. What He has established stands forever. What, no matter when we wake up, whatever time and period, it's the same. Hallelujah. If people realize the glory of that, We love all this chain stuff in America, and it's brought nothing but destruction. The earth is crumbling and falling apart because of man's change. Instead of going back to the wells of the past and drinking of those pure wells, we keep trying to change it. And the church is out of line today, big time, because it has changed and changed and changed, and it's out of the will of God. And when you come into the will of God, this is the perfection and the place of glory. And we say, I want glory living in imperfection. No, let's come to the glory. Let's come to the glory. Say, God, I want your word. I want the establishment of your kingdom. Your kingdom's the things that... And I came in. We got into it. You and I, each one of us here, we got into this kingdom by birth. We're into this kingdom by birth. Get it settled within yourself. People who are not born again are not in the same kingdom as you. They're different people. They don't have the nature of God. You know, and they're, I want to, if they don't change, they're going to get worse and worse and worse. They're going to become more like their father. The sad thing today, we've had so much of the born again and become more like the devil. They have yielded over to the thinking of this age. You can't do that. That's why Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in 1950, many of my people, he didn't say some, he said many are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. Why aren't they going to be ready? Because they're going to be like the world and thinking like the world. They're going to be the change people. You know, well, the Bible, yeah, was good for back then. But, you know, we're different today. How did all of that happen? Well, number one, right and wrong is not preached. So there's no measuring stick. Man has no measuring stick. The people who say that, they're the ones that threw the measuring stick out. They think sin's changed. The depravity of man is identically the same from when the earth started to today. Hasn't changed at all. The Bible is 100% accurate. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. When Jesus went before Pontius Pilate, Pilate asked him about being a king. Are you a king? Now back in those days, they understand, see, we don't like this stuff today. We don't like this king thing. We don't like this. That's why we as Christians have a hard time with God's kingdom, because we don't like kings. We like say. We love, well, I got my opinion. Yeah, everybody else got one too, so forget it. Ain't that important. If it isn't in line with God said, who cares? Keep it to yourself. Just torment yourself and not us. Let's just keep our opinion. Everybody got his opinions. But we're in a kingdom. So now Pontius Pilate was not a king, but actually he had more authority than the kings did, because he was appointed by Rome down in over Judea. Even Herod, who was a king, was appointed by the Roman Empire, didn't have Pontius Pilate. He was a military commander, and he had the authority to blow all the rest of them up. Now, but this guy comes along, and he understands the king thing, and he said about Jesus, they say that you're a king. And Jesus said that he wasn't. He said, and Jesus made this statement to him. I'll read it here from John, the 18th chapter, verse 36. Jesus answered, he says, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So in other words, we're dealing with a kingdom. Now understand this as Christians. We're dealing with an unseen kingdom. You and I were born into an unseen kingdom. It's unseen. See, faith is of the unseen. What God is trying to bring back to the church is the idea of faith dealing with unseen. Because much of Christianity today, much of the spirit-filled people have converted over to the seen realm and are trying to walk by faith by the seen realm and have become ineffective. They have become ineffective. They're mostly moved by what they see. Think about the Apostle Paul. Do you realize the time that the early church lived in, what it was like? There was the Roman Empire. Think about it. The Roman Empire ruled the earth. You don't like the Democrats. These guys are cheesecake. We know very little about faith. We know very little about any of this stuff. I mean, we're talking about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire shows up in another country. You know, a Roman soldier had authority, a single Roman soldier had authority over everybody in that nation. Anybody did anything to a Roman soldier, I'm going to tell you what, crucifixion wasn't even a good thing for you. A Roman soldier could come along and say, hey, you, come here, you come with me and you carry my equipment. Hey, we're going down there, this is what you're going to do. Everybody had authority over you. See, we sit and whine today. We whine because we're so uneducated, so small-minded, thinking we understand. And yet those people, we look at the church of the age and we sit down and read the book of Acts. See, we read the book of Acts and say, ain't this incredible? And we think that they're telling us what God was doing going on. But it don't tell us the history of all the mess up in the world at that time. And the church don't study to find anything out either. We set up this little fantasy gospel thing that we set up and don't realize what these people were doing. Look what happened to the Apostle Paul. Reading the scriptures, how many times the guy was beaten and stuff and going into place. How did all that happen? Because everything was wonderful? It wasn't. It wasn't wonderful. Look, I'm not setting you up to go get beaten. I'm not trying to, but I want you, we need to come back over. We're living by faith, folks. We're part of a kingdom. Our kingdom needs to become real to us. It needs to be more real than America and our vote and all this stuff. It needs to become more real. If it doesn't, we become ineffective. Whichever's the more real to you is what you are really going to follow. The unseen gotta be, our unseen God, the Holy Ghost in me has to become. You know, this morning, I'm walking back and forth here praying, walking back and forth, and I'm gonna tell you, you talking about dry. I'd have went home before you guys got here if I lived by my feelings. And I'm serious, I'm walking back and forth thinking, my God, Lord, I gotta get the anointing on me when I go to preach because all I'm getting is a dry mouth. I'm praising God walking back. And I'll tell you what, if I would have went by what was going on, I'd have thought God done moved out to Chicago or something. He ain't here. I'm walking back and forth and I'm praying. I'm thinking, you know what my mind's saying? Are you wasting your time? Well, it almost seems like it. But you know what? The Bible says when I pray in other tongues, when I'm praying in other tongues, I'm edifying myself. I don't care what my feelings, I don't care what my flesh don't like. God doesn't have to give me a goosebump. He doesn't have to give me a feeling or a sign. He already told me in the Word what's happening when I pray in tongues. And you know what I know is going to happen? I'm on a step to start to preach and the anointing's going to drop. But I didn't even have to wait for that. It happened this morning earlier. The anointing came. But see, I know the anointing will come. If I walk by faith. See, we get too full of the feeling thing. We want a feeling of something. We want to, the Word must become enough for us. You're in a kingdom. We have a king. Jesus is a king of this kingdom we can't see. We're walking around here in this flesh. Inside of us, our born-again spirit, which I cannot see. The Holy Ghost, which I can't see. And this morning, I didn't feel Him at all. But He's in there. We must live and start living like this is true. This must become our reality. We must bring this back. If we don't, we will not take our place of authority. We will not stand where we belong. We will keep waiting for the news media to tell us it's all right that things are working out before we feel good. Our prayer lives will be moved by CNN and Fox. It won't be moved by God. Because we won't be listening to Him. It must become real in us. You know, it's number one, I'm not saying, I'm led by the Spirit. I ain't saying anything. I ain't led by fire. Years ago, I heard a minister say this. This minister said, he watches the news to find out what to pray for. I thought, dear Jesus, take him home today. Please, take him out today. If you ever take anybody home, may it please be him. Can you imagine? We find out in our watching TV to what we ought to pray about. And this was a spirit-filled ministry. I don't know what spirit it was. I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't the same spirit that I got. I'm sure it was a spirit. And, but see, people need to have something with the eye. They can't be moved by God. Folks, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Jesus would have never went to the cross looking at outward. He'd have never went to the cross. You'll never live a successful Christian life walking by the outside. You'll never do it. Most Christians will live and die without walking in the will of God because they're moved by the outside. They're moved by what's around them. I don't want to go there. I don't want to live in that place because there's no joy in that thing. See, you can always tell when pressure comes what's going on. Look at our nation. We're under pressure. Are the majority of the people, even Christians, doing well? No. Why? So we know this. They're not spiritual. There's no spirituality. Under pressure is when faith proves itself out. Glory to God. Under pressure, Ed puts his gear on and says, man, we're going to war, folks. Hallelujah. I finally get to shoot something. I finally get to go after something. Hallelujah. Let's go after it. It's time. It's time to prove out faith. That's why if anybody should have joy, that's why the whining preachers, you know, I don't care. They're trying to close our churches. Oh, go have church and shut up and go to jail. Do you good. Go to jail and preach. Dear God, it don't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay happy. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want, you know, it's one thing is dealing with, turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we call, you know, the chapter on faith, which talks about all the people of faith. The 12th chapter goes in. And really, the things we're going to look at here, which is going to start in verse 18, we want to look at the Apostle Paul is talking about where our citizenship is, in other words, our kingdom. As we look at it, it is telling us what we're not in is where they were, the children of Israel, but where we are. Now, it starts off, and this is speaking about the children of Israel when they came to the mountain of God. In verse 18, it says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burnt with fire and to the blackness and darkness and tempest and to the sound of a trumpet and of the voice of words so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore for they could not endure what was commanded. No, it didn't say they couldn't endure what they saw. They couldn't endure the word of God, what was commanded them. It says, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now, do you see that? It was all about sight. In other words, sight ain't going to put you at peace. Sight ain't going to put... God, see, everybody wants to see something, see something. God's given his word to us. We're born again children of God. We don't live in a sight kingdom. You know, we want to believe if we get to see the fire, the smoke, and... A lot of Christians want signs and wonders today, and they want them for the wrong reasons. They want signs and wonders to believe. I don't need a sign and wonder to believe. I believe what the Word says. Therefore, I will have signs. Therefore, they will. Now, you see, this is them. They're looking at it, and they said, man, this sight, this makes me quake and shake. Man, this, I don't like the signs of this. I don't like seeing this stuff. See, we're seeing stuff today in the earth. We're seeing things. And people are watching stuff. The church is watching stuff. And they're quaking and shaking and worrying about, you know, this and that. But listen what he said. Listen what then Paul wrote to us in verse 22. Now, this is to the believer. You're a believer today. You're a believer. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Now, This is what we came to. How many of you have ever seen it? This sounds like a nice kingdom, don't it? Well, you're supposed to believe that. And you're supposed to believe that you're in it. You don't have to see it. You're supposed to believe it. The effect of change in this world, to bring change in this world, is to believe what you can't see, not believe what you see. See, we're supposed to believe. I've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Where's my citizenship? It is in heaven. It is not here. I'm physically in this earth. Me being an American citizen is a temporal thing. It's a temporal thing. It's temporary. It's going to end. I am born into the kingdom of God. You are born in the kingdom of God. This is eternal, unchangeable. Your citizenship is in heaven. In other words, that's the place of your authority. That's the place where you have rights. Just like here in the earth, people are born into countries, and being a citizen of a country have certain rights, being a citizen of that country. We have the rights of the citizen of heaven. This is why you got to get to know the Word of God. See, most people are, you know, I'm going to tell you, they're going to try to steal my rights. I'm sorry. They can steal rights from me here in this natural earth, but they cannot steal my rights and authority in heaven. It can't be done. The rights that count, they can't take. The ones that give me authority here, they can't take. And the church is worried about the natural. The church is worried about the natural. You know, the church under persecution in China is growing huge in amounts. It's growing so much fast. The American church is diminishing, and the church is over there growing hugely. Why? They're persecuting. We're here worried about getting our rights taken. They ain't got none. But the church is not moved over there by the rights. They're moved by what God's given them. They are moved by who and what they are. If we can only pick, we've lost that in America. We have lost. We're afraid of persecution. Well, wait till I read you what scriptures say, and you'll have to get over it. Or decide you want to be in another kingdom, because you ain't going to like this kingdom. In this earth, this kingdom's not appreciated a whole lot. And Jesus told us it wouldn't be. See, we got to come down and think, why? Do you think he didn't give us the place of victory to walk in, that ain't going to trouble us or worry us? We're so tied to our natural rights in this country. And because of it, the devil's been able to rob and rob and rob and rob. Because what we mostly do is we do by fear rather than by faith. We're afraid of what we're going to lose. I'm sorry, I ain't losing. Hallelujah. Now, listen what it goes on to say. Then Paul says this. In other words, this is your position. You're a child in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's your citizenship? Heaven. Now, who's your king? Jesus. All right, things are looking pretty good, aren't they? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly place with him. Well, he's enthroned and we're seated with him. So in other words, we're in a place of authority. We couldn't question. There's no other kingdom we could think of in the earth would have kings or anything, would put its citizenship in the same enthronement as the king itself. No other place ever does that. This kingdom is just completely wild. It's awesome. I mean, it's just, wow! This Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. See, where we had a vote, we never used it. We had the vote, never used a thing. Ah, we sit and quote the scripture, but never use it. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we could get Jesus just to do something, I'll tell you. See, we're in a kingdom. But see, we're too much on the feeling and seeing side and everything. This is what we're too much into that. We need to come down where the word's true. Now, verse 25, he says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. What a warning. Now, God's telling us all this goodness, but don't refuse the guy that's talking. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Gee, how many times do you hear that preached to people? How many sinners do they ever tell that to anymore? No, we have the feel-good church of Jesus Christ, where you just tell them Jesus loves you just the way you are. See, we don't preach that. That's not preached. There's not, and you know why it isn't? Because the church never preaches it. The church is not afraid to disobey Jesus. The church has no fear of living like hell. The church has no fear of it. The church has no fear of living like hell. It's going to be a problem. You know what? If these things are preached, they will become commonplace to you and I. We won't think twice about it. It's easy to live. It ain't hard to live, but it's terribly hard to live God's way when it's never preached. But if it's preached, we can live in it. If it's preached, we can have faith in it, walk in it. And we have grace then, and we find this out. Look, it says, whose voice then, he said, shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that can be shaken. Get over this. This earth that people love so much is going to be gone. It's nothing to fight for. It's going to be gone. The only thing, our kingdom stands. It is unmoved. The word of God stands. It is unmoved. Hallelujah. He said for this, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now listen to what it goes on to say. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now listen to what it says. Let us have grace. What do you have grace for? So you can go ahead and sin and get away with it. That's what grace is for. Grace is about getting away with it. No, he says, by which we may serve God. Grace is being able to serve God. You know why the church lives in sin? Because we don't know what grace is for. Grace is so I can overcome, so I can follow the command, so I can walk. God gives me grace, and I can have grace if I know what it's for. Grace has been given the church, and the church is trying to use grace for everything but what God gave it. Grace is so I can live for God. Grace is not so I can live for me. So I can live in the flesh and do my flesh stuff. It's not what it's for. It's grace to follow God, how to serve God. Why? Acceptably, and reverence. Grace is so you can live acceptable to God and reverence to God and godly fear. Oh my God, we sure don't have that in the grace message, do we? Verse 29, for God is an ice cube that feels so good on a hot day. Well, that's what we preach today. He's the God of great comfort. Hallelujah. If you're going to walk with God, God is the God of great comfort. If you're going to follow God, He's the God of great comfort. But if you're not going to follow God, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to be pretty. God's a consuming fire. God's a consuming fire. It says, it doesn't say God has fire. He is fire. He is. That's what He is. He is fire. Hallelujah. He's a consuming fire. Well, maybe we'll pass that one up. But see, we find out we're in this cave. This we can look at. Here's what the head of the kingdom is like. This is the head of the kingdom. This is what the head of the kingdom says. We're supposed to follow the commands of God. We're supposed to walk in them. We're supposed to accept grace. Grace is this. Grace is God's ability to work in you. That's what it's for. It's to serve Him. It's not to serve ourselves. See, when men preach grace and they make grace as a thing to, you can just go and sin and stuff, and grace is about just covering. That's not really. Grace is God's ability. Why would God make us His children and not give us the ability to live and walk like Him? This is what He wants. To me, this is the most wonderful thing. Grace is so I can become what I never could become by myself. Grace is the ability to be changed, not stay the same. Grace is so I can overcome, so the words in the Bible that says you're more than a conqueror can become true in our lives. Not just nice words on a page that never happened to people. I've heard people confess those things and never have none of it. Well, you know, I'm just who I am and I'm just what I am and this is it. No, I want to tell you what. We need the hand of God, and we need to start and say, God, you know, God, I'm fed up with me. Are you tired of you yet? See, my people are trying to get God to do something. You ought to get fed up with you. Get tired of you. I'm tired of me. I've had this God for 70 years. Let's get God. Dear Lord. Gee, I mean, everybody, you know, I don't want to become more. I want Him to become more. You know, we're singing, saturate me. See, I want to be saturated with something other than me. I want it, you know, like you said, Saul got the anointing, became a different man. And then we preach the lies today. God loves me the way I am. The anointing don't change people anymore. It don't, because the gospel's not preached. The true gospel. People are becoming what the gospel that's preached. They're becoming greater sinners. Because the gospel that's being preached to them by people is a gospel of weakness and failure. It's a God that a Jesus died for nothing. He died just so you could be the same old thing you are and then take you to heaven one day. That's all it is. It's a gospel that can't bring heaven into the earth that has turned this nation into hell. That's the gospel. The church's gospel has made America what it is today. We have preached no morality. Sin is all right. We don't want to because people don't like to hear it. We have voted leaders in who they don't want to hear it either. Only say nice things. I'm going to do whatever I can to get elected again. Because that's the most important. That's why you don't hear the Republicans rising up and just getting out and out mad about all this going on. Why? Because they're more interested in re-election. And we've done this by keep re-electing these idiots. And like I say, 15 minutes in office is plenty. Anything over 15 minutes, a guy needs voted out. See, that sounds cruel. Good. We need some cruel. We need to stand up and look in people's face and say, I ain't putting up with your nonsense no more. I'll turn you over to the devil. Which way do you want to go? But I ain't going to let you destroy the nation and the people of this nation. But the church has not walked in its authority. The church has been the wimp and whine. We need to come out and say, no, no. We're not living there no more. Now I want you to read. I want to read something to you because when we preach the gospel, people, what are we expecting? And especially with ourselves, what are we expecting? Now listen, we're going to read what Jesus said. Like I, you know, I had said in the beginning, we talk about Jesus. Now Matthew in the 10th chapter. I want us to turn there. We're going to talk about what Jesus said. Now see, we determine whether this is right or people are right. Now most of Christianity does not really believe these scriptures I'm going to read. They don't believe them. Because I know the way Christianity lives in this general direction that it moves, it doesn't believe this. Most spirit-filled ministers don't believe this, these things here. In fact, I don't even hear. They avoid these when they talk about faith because it don't line up with the way they want to believe. But Jesus said this. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32. Now listen to what he said. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, whoever confesses me, Jesus said, then he makes this statement. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now think about that. We actually have people who were once gospel preachers today preaching everybody goes to heaven. Yeah, there's people who were spirit-filled ministers. They come to conclusion under this sloppy grace, everybody's going to heaven. Gee, I wonder if Jesus was really right. I wonder if. And they came up through this saying, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. Well, they couldn't have read or studied the Bible. So number one, we know that they don't like Jesus. You need to understand this. If you don't like Jesus' words, you don't like Jesus. Anybody who says it is the biggest liar on the face of the earth. You are what your word is. Whether you like it or not. Go down the bank. Your word's no good. Find out how quick you get money. Your word in life is going to determine what you are. Now, listen what, this is Jesus talking. Now listen what, you know what, I don't know. Maybe my Bible's different. Maybe I ought to buy a new one. I know my translation doesn't fit a lot of them today. But it says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. What? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, there went 90% of Christianity right out the window. What? I thought that's what he came for. That's what we were always, oh yes, Jesus has come into the world to straighten out all the problems. No, he didn't. He came to divide the good from evil, wipe the bad out, and take evil home with him. Done check that out? Now listen, this is Jesus talking. For I have come to set a man against his father. Well, I thought he was going to make peace to the house. A daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. Have you ever heard any of that preach today of bringing people to Christ? No, we just hurriedly get people to make a confession and don't tell them. This is about a commitment to someone, not to a thing. It is a commitment to a person who you're supposed to love more. You know what? This is the oddest thing to me. This is really odd to me because when I got born again, number one, I didn't get born again listening to preachers. I had heard preaching. I had heard more sermons in my lifetime as a kid than most of all of you here together if you sit down and figure all the sermons you ever heard. You know, I went to church more than a little bit. I mean, during every winter, you would go from church to church. They'd have 2-week revival things, and we would go every night for months on end, all the time, every night to church. So you don't know nothing about church. You know a thing about church. You ain't went one enough to even find out about it. But I found this out. They believed in what they're doing, and all these people today tell me all they believe about, and I doubt it, but... When it comes to going after God, people ain't after it. Well, we need to come down and get with it. Let's get with the program. Guilty is charged. Nothing ever changes unless we change. And I'll tell you what, I don't know much. I need God to help me change. Things ain't right. We need to get ourselves straight. But anyhow, the Lord started to speak to me as one of the things God had me, which we'll read later on, talk about, counting the cost. Now, I was a sinner. Because people talk about, oh, you know, won't accept Jesus. The Lord said, before I ever got born again, the Lord spoke to me. I was going over this thing within myself about whether I wanted to accept Christ because I was there, you know. See, where I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I was a hellion. I mean, from being there, I was a good worker, did my work and stuff, but I was a hellion when it came to sin. I mean, I tell you, I was on a, man, I tell you, I'd lead you, you know. And, but, I knew this, that if I accepted Christ, I just knew within myself, if I'm going to accept Christ, I thought about this, and I'm saying, you know, you want to change life, I can't go back to that life. And I'm, you know, see, it's number one, I didn't get saved overnight. I got months. I went through a thing, and my whole thing was this, if I'm going to do this, am I really going to do this? No. I'm making a decision. See, we don't do that today in our church. God brought me the biblical way, and we don't today. We get out there to try to get people to accept as fast as we can. Why? To just notch our gun down. Look what we did. I'm not interested in how fast people come. I want people to come actually by faith and made a decision to follow Jesus. Amen. And God took me through the thing. And the Lord said this to me one time. He said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. So I was a sinner and he said that to me. We would never say that in a church. Well, that'll run them off. Then run them off! Preach. They ain't gonna follow Jesus anyway! Amen. And you're gonna have another dead person getting in the church and the church is gonna be more like hell. But the church loves hell! We need to bring this stuff to a stop. We need to tell people the truth. You can't deny me before that. You can't go play something somewhere and then play it another with whoever group you're with. God don't accept it. But He does in the preaching of the church today. We preach it as acceptable. We're lying to people, sending them to hell because we want to be liked. We want to make people think that we're all right. We're really nice. This isn't about Ed Gibson and them. It's about Jesus and them. If they don't like what Jesus said about it, that ain't my fault. I didn't write the book. I don't have to care. It isn't about me. It's between them and Jesus whether they make it to heaven. It's not between me and them. So get your personal feelings out of things and what you think about it. It don't matter. Don't matter what I think about it. We're afraid to take them to Jesus. We want them to accept a Jesus we won't even take them to. Most organizations won't let a person in for what the church will let people in. You have to meet a standard to get in. I mean, most of them will even make you pay some kind of tuition at least once a year, not the church. They'll take you and you know all you do is take from the church and never give them a thing. Calling it love. And it's stupid. They never dedicate to nothing. In a kingdom, you're either dedicated to the king or you're probably going to be hanging in the street somewhere. Don't come to the kingdom to play. We're going to find out what Scripture says. You don't come to the kingdom. This is not some light little thing. This is something that's true. Do you want to... See, you guys made a dedication, but you need to know. Most of them out here ain't. They ain't made no dedication to nothing but themselves. They look as a Christian. They've been priests. I feel bad. Because, you know, you're just going to get money. God's going to fix your family. He's going to do all this. I'm going to tell you, He might cause trouble in your family. I have seen people get saved and their family split up and fall apart. Amen. That's right. Yep. And I heard faith preachers say, well, you should, if you're really in faith, they ought to knock them upside the head. Jesus said that can happen. That's one of the things I had to decide. It was one of the decisions that I made before I got born again. Was the fact of, what if Wanda don't accept this? What's going to happen? See, I have a wife, two kids. And here I am with two kids. Am I going to live in a split family? Because, you know, this guy went from party boy to now he's going to be Mr. Good Guy? Well, hold it. That ain't the guy she married. I had to decide. I had to make a decision. And I made it. The night I accepted Christ, I said to the Lord, Lord, if Wanda doesn't follow, I'm going to follow. I'm going to set myself, no matter how this thing turns, I don't know how it's going to go. But however it goes, I'm going to dedicate myself to you. I'm going to follow you. I made a commitment then. But see, we don't ever tell people to do this. We don't. You come and accept Jesus and we say everything's going to work. And I had a guy come to me years ago with this one time. A guy came to me and he said, I want to know why they've lied to me about Christians. They say they come in all this nice little stuff they say, come accepting Jesus, and now I've accepted Him, and now there's all this stuff that got to be done. And why didn't they tell me this? I said, well, that's most preachers are liars. They'll come make you think everything's going to turn out fine when it don't turn out fine. See, we put things out there we shouldn't put out there. No, the Apostle Paul, I've heard ministers sitting around preaching, well, you know, if you want, your old mate will come in. Did you ever hear Paul wrote about that? Paul said if your mate wants to go, let him go. Gee, but see, these faith ministers have more faith today than the Bible got. They got more faith than in the Bible. You know, I stand in faith the best I can on things and stuff, and as far as I know, and you know, you're not trying to drive your family apart, but you know, there's things to do and right. You've got to come down to it. It's like the Lord spoke to me one day. The Lord told me He wanted me to do a certain thing, and I said, man, I'm going to talk to Wanda about that. And the Lord spoke to me just as clear, said to me, who are you going to obey, me or her? What if she don't like it? You're not going to do it? I said, well, He didn't say it very nice either. I think it was wanting to be one of those jobs or else. one of those things, and I didn't want to go to the or else, so I didn't go past that. I said, I can obey. Yeah. See, you know, God don't go along with all this stuff either. They have, you know, you have to be in agreement all the time. Go ahead and believe. The only one I have to be in agreement with all the time is Jesus. Amen. And he didn't ask my opinion. It says agree with him. Just agree with him. See, we know very little about, we don't read the Bible. We have religion and we have American culture brought into the church. We have the American culture. Most marriage counseling today is done in the church, is done off of from what the women's groups have bought into the church world. And you go in and you're in the same. There's no submission authority anymore or any stuff like that. And you know what? The men don't submit to Jesus and the women don't submit to the men. And it's just a mess. Well, let's preach that one a while. I'll tell you. Glory! shake them up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He was such a sweet talker. See, this is about the relationship with the individual and Jesus. See, this is about me and my conduct toward him. This is not about the church. This is not about other individuals or somebody. This is what Jesus expects. This is Jesus saying, this is what I expect of you. You're going to follow me. This is what I expect. See, he lays the groundwork. He is telling us going in. See, if we tell people, people can make a decision. Too many people have come in, they haven't even had what the word said on the deal. They didn't come in faith in God to begin with. They came on man's gospel. No wonder people don't get born again or don't end up following Jesus. They can't. They've never been given, they've never come to the place to make a decision. I came to a place to decide where I'm going. It's like the Lord told me, you know, I went through this whole thing of going over a long period of time. I really, you know, I never thought about it as much as I have in these last few years of really how supernaturally I came into the kingdom in some ways, because it all started off supernaturally. See, God didn't speak sweet to me to bring me in the kingdom. Why? Because I was way over in a ditch. And to get me out of the ditch, he had to tell me how things were. He had to tell me I'm on my way to hell, that my family is going to hell because of me. That's what the Holy Ghost told me. He kept saying, what's going to happen to your family? And I knew when he'd say the words, I would knew, I'm on my way to hell and my family's going to go too. Now, if God has to talk to some people like that, how come he never does today? How come in the church world he never speaks like that anymore? You see, people need to know their condition. People cannot get born again. Look, the Bible says that. The Bible says, the law is the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. It didn't say grace is the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Why is the law the schoolmaster? Why? Do you know why the law is the schoolmaster? No. No. The law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the scripture says. If man doesn't have knowledge of sin, that he is sin, that he is in sin and he is lost, he cannot make a decision for Jesus Christ. He can't make a decision. We don't make decisions for Jesus Christ because I need a new car, a new job, a new house. I need a better life. That is not how you get into the kingdom. The knowledge is your sin and you can't save yourself. You're lost and going to be under the wrath of God. That's what the law showed man. The law showed. And the law is the schoolmaster, and we never use the schoolmaster to bring people to Jesus because we're just so darn spiritual today. We're just so full of spirituality. The law is the schoolmaster. We got to preach the knowledge of sin. The need for me having Jesus, it got nothing to do with any blessing other than I got to get out of the wrath of God. I'm in trouble. And the only thing that's going to help my family at all, if I can do that, then they got a chance. See, I was under the wrath of God. Every sinner, no matter how much God loves anyone out here, without Christ, you're under the wrath of God and you're going to face the full wrath of God for eternity. That's the love of God. Oh my. That wasn't the love. Hold it. Give me another. I want another love book. I don't like that one. Give me another love book. Does God send anybody to hell? No. It's man's choice. But man today is not being given a choice in America. They're just being sent to hell by the church. The church is just sending people off to hell. Thank God for the ministers who have the guts to say the truth. Thank God for every one of them. See, we're in a land, I'm fed up of hearing preachers talking using Chronicles, and they always use it about pray, pray, pray. Yeah, it says turn from your evil word and repent. But no, we don't talk that part. It's always just pray. Pray is going to change it. Pray didn't change it. Why? Because we didn't repent and turn from our evil way. Sin brings things to a stop. Like years ago, I remember, it wasn't after long after I started a church, I went to a minister's meeting, and in the minister's meeting, this one minister got up and he said, you pastors out there, he said, you keep telling people in your congregation, you know, whether they want healed or something, and you tell them, you know, they're having problems. Well, you just need to believe more and believe more. He said, you need to tell them the truth. He said, believing more isn't their problem. He said, it's their sin. Amen. It's keeping them sick. Their sin's keeping them... But we don't today. Oh, just trust the Lord more. Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Not if I'm in sin. The wages of sin is death. We teach, you can just confess it. I can just keep confessing the right thing. Death will just fly away. Hold it. That don't work that way. The knowledge of sin is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. When a man finds out what's wrong with him, it's like any problem you run into in life. If you don't know what it is, you can't fix it. You got to find out what it is. The knowledge of sin is a wonderful thing. You can't stay away from what you don't know. You'll just get right in the middle of it. It's nonsense. We put that, see, we have our negative and positive column. And the church has this negative side. There's about 4 million things listed over there. And there's 27 over here on this. We'll listen anywhere in this range, you know. This is the positive message. Don't get over to those. And they don't realize. See, I don't look at the Bible positive and negative. I look at truth. I got over, you know, Ed getting upset over that stuff. I got over. One day I grew up. I didn't stay a baby Christian. Amen. When I was a baby Christian, I used to get upset if God dealt with me on things. You know, I'd run, I don't know why he did that to me. Don't he know so-and-so? They did this or they did that. Look at me. And then he yells at me about it. Yeah, then you go suck your thumb a while, trying to comfort yourself. And I look at him now. God is interested in my well-being. I'm going to tell you, there's not one of you are even close to as interested in me as he is. You're not close. He knows everything about me and still likes me. That amazes me. Because sometimes I wonder about me. And he, it's amazing. He is interested. If he has a rebuke, it is never. He's not trying to destroy me. Never. It's for my good. The scripture says it's for my good. He corrects me for my good because he loves me. If today the church hates the sinner because we won't correct it. God corrects and says because he loves. So if we're not doing it, if we're not correcting, it's because we hate and lie about loving. We need to tell people, you're under the wrath of God. God wants to, he provided salvation. He gave Jesus. He doesn't want to pour out his wrath on nobody, but he will.
He will. Amen.
No matter how much he loves you, mm-hmm. he will. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many people probably run to Jesus. Why run to Jesus when you're all okay? What's the point? What's the point? There's no reason for Jesus. Man is in a downhill slope to hell at such a great speed in these last days, and things are about to end, and the church has went and fixed and took the brakes off of everything so we can send them to hell as fast as we can. The only brakes that are on this thing is the one that the church puts on it by following Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord said to me, what he said, he said, I made you a flagman. That's what you are, is a flagman. He said, the bridge is out. Mm-hmm. And I said, boy, thanks for me. Everybody loves the flagman. Everybody likes the flagman. You know one thing that bothers me today? I don't see a lot of the prophets, or so-called prophets, aren't flagmen because they ain't prophets. The prophets in time of danger are always flagmen. They're trying to bring things to a stop. They're trying to bring things. They're trying to protect the people from danger. What's killing them? Love. God is doing it. God wants to throw up the roadblock. God wants to throw the roadblock up. God don't want anybody going over where that bridge is out. He's trying to do what he can to stop. And the church is saying, ain't no danger. Just go ahead. Keep running them. Just believe God for a better car and a better house. I'll tell you, that'll do it. Hey, that'll get you. You know? We're just out here being, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be good. You can't live in sin and it all turn out good.
Amen. Preach.
See, we need to be honest with people. Number one, you need to be honest with your loved ones around you and quit playing those scroungy little games you've been doing with them, petting them and making things are all right. And are not. Because I'm going to tell you what, when they end up in hell, they're going to curse you for eternity. They're going to curse you for eternity. For sending them there. We have to stop and tell people no. You can't go that way. We have such a messed up Christianity. On Thursday, there was two ladies I was talking to, and they're both different churches, but you know, both quote Christians under the different denominations. They were talking about some things. I was listening. They asked me some things. I was talking back to them, and I just thought it was so sad because they're talking, and basically, their beliefs are based on their. However their denomination believes. And I'm listening to them talking, they would say something, they'd ask me something, I'd quote the Bible, and you could tell it, they got uneasy. I would quote, well, the Bible says this. Well, this is how we do it, I'd say, well, the Bible says this. And you could, it's just irritating. I could tell it was just irritating them. It was just irritating them. Now, completely nice ladies, I believe that as far as they know, that they I believe they like God as much as they know, maybe know of Him, or whatever it is. But they use the term Christian, and they use the term in there. But really, their faith is not based in God's Word. Their faith is based in their church's belief or what their church does. Now, I'm not knocking them. I found in the charismatic and the Spirit-filled church, the Word people become the same way. What they do is they'll have certain things of the Word, but they pick this narrow bunch of Word and they stay in that path. They play there. They say, there's loads of parts of the Bible we don't want. You know, God keeps dragging me to this other stuff. I got too thick of a Bible, I guess. I got to get a Bible with less stuff in it. But you see, it's the one. God gave us the words in this Bible. He gave these things to us this purpose. He don't want to bring some of that to pass. He wants to bring all of it to pass. And He wants to bring it all to the pass for all of us. He wants me to understand His whole counsel, not just some of His counsel. He wants me to go over on the hard sayings. Where you have to sit down and look and say, you know, God, what's this really say? Teach me about this. I want to know.
Amen.
I want to understand. Lord, I want to be able to stand up in front of people and talk about judgment and not hate people.
Amen.
I want to be able to look across and have a heart that says, man, we got to talk about these things, but it isn't because I don't like people. It's because I want people delivered. I want people set free. And we need to say these things. And if somebody doesn't, if somebody doesn't tell them, they'll be lost. See, we want to come, when we look across, just think about it. If Jesus was a man, was it easy for him to sit and just say these things to people? Let me read you something. We're going to go a little longer here, I know. Let me get scriptures here for you. I want to show you something. Because we put Jesus over here, well, he was so spiritual that like he wasn't a man, so he don't understand like we do. You know, he just, now listen to this. I want to, turn with me to Mark the third chapter. Turn with me to Mark the third. I went past it. I had gone too far. I want to show you something about Jesus. What you have to deal with and deal with yourself and dealing with things and understand about yourself. See, because it's not always easy to say or to do the things, but to speak what's true. Now, I may believe that Jesus loved his family, his mom and his brothers. I believe he loved them, you know. I believe he really cared for them. But Jesus didn't tell us that we were supposed to love him more than we love our moms and dads and everybody else. We're going to find Jesus really acted this stuff out. See, he had to do it. Now, see, we look at this, you know, we get these concepts and ideas. Like we see, like, say, the pictures of what we call Virgin Mary, especially, you know, you get this time of year, you know, people start bringing all this stuff, and she's Little Miss Halo, you know. She wasn't Little Miss Halo. She was a woman. And she was, and you know what? Even though she had a divine experience with God and brought forth a child, she didn't understand what that child was. I don't know if she took the time to find out. I want you to show experience that happened here with her. Now, the Jews were treating him bad. They said that he, in Matthew, the third chapter, they had said that he was casting out devils. See, they were coming against him. He was having a lot of pressure coming around. The Pharisees said, this guy's casting out devils because he has a devil in him. That's how he's doing. They're doing all this stuff. Now listen in Matthew the third chapter in verse 20. It says, then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And mark the third chapter. But when his own people heard about this, this is his own people. This is his mother and his brothers, his own people. They went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Now, I want you to find something history. You know, Jesus, his mother and his brother never followed him in his ministry while he was alive. Do you know that? They didn't follow him until after his death and resurrection. James, who was his brother who wrote the book of James. Now, he came along, became a man of faith. He never followed Jesus while he was in the earth. Now, this is what he said. He said, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast demons out. Now, here's Jesus, because there's some more discourse in between there. You jump down to verse 31, it says this. Then his brothers and his mothers came standing outside. They sent to him calling. In other words, we got to go get this nutty kid of ours. We got to go get him now. And so they come. I'm his mama. This boy's, these be his brothers. Let us at him. It says, and the multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Listen what Jesus said. But he answered them saying, who is my mother or my brother? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.
Amen.
This stuff ain't in the church today. Physical family means 100% more than the church to the average Christian. That's why the majority of people who claim to be Christians never go to church. Because they love everything else more than Jesus and think they're going to end up in heaven.
Amen. Preach.
They have a good psychological Christianity, but they don't have a love for Jesus.
Amen.
The kingdom exists because of Him. The only reason I get to be in the kingdom is because of Him.
Amen.
There is no other, it's only Jesus. The only reason I get to escape the wrath of God is because of Jesus.
Amen.
My devotion has to be to Him fully.
Amen.
He has to be number one on the list. I didn't decide that. He said. He said. He didn't ask you. He don't care about your opinion. Your opinion is not going to count on Judgment Day. Your opinion will not count. What you think, your excuses will not count. See, we need to tell people. We're not telling people these things. We don't want them. Most of the church today don't even know them. They think accepting Jesus is about having a nice life here on earth and everybody getting along is better. Let's not have any wars. Let's all tiptoe through the tulip today. I think there's going to be problems. I read the book of Revelation, how this thing turns out. If it's peace on earth, I just want you to know it ain't going to work. It's going to go south real bad. Look at all the people God loved through Jesus Christ. And go over and read the book of Revelation. How do we compare? How do people look at that compared to what's taught or preached today? That it would end like that with humanity. How do we deal with that? We don't. We just ignore it. The book of Revelation, most pastors will never even read it or ever study or teach it in a congregation. The average one will not. Why? Because it doesn't fit our gospel today. We're afraid it'll run people off. And dumb God gave us a whole book on the thing. And the church hates it. And if they had the right to say today, it would never have been put in the context of the Bible. Man, that's a warning about the future, folks. It's the warning. Thank God I ain't going through that thing. Thank God. God has given us Jesus to keep us out of that. So we don't go there. But if we don't tell people the truth and they have to go through that, they have every right to tell God about us of not warning or not telling people. We have to warn people. You know, we're talking about the church leaving. Do you understand what the tribulation period is coming on the other? And the church is talking about leaving without preaching the gospel? Without telling people about the doom that's coming? Telling people you don't have to repent? Telling people God loves you the way you are? Saying those things with doom? The church goes to glory. They go to doom. I mean, it's like, how can we do this? See, it must stop. We must stop and say, hey, hold on. Man, I'm going to tell you, the roads out, we're at the place with the bridge. We're at the spot where the church is going to leave. And everything heads south from here. Everything's going down the tubes from there. When the church leaves, the seat of authority leaves the earth. The law begins again. No man has authority over Satan. In the book of Revelation, the devil has authority over the believers. In the book of Revelation, it says so. When the church leaves, the church, we should be trying to get everybody we can into the church. See, there's an ark. I know it's unpopular to preach there's going to be a flood and everything's going to die. Nobody wants to hear that. We'll fight over an election. But we won't fight over this gospel. We'll become an idiot to have our political party. We'll stand out. Don't care who criticizes about that. But I sure want to be liked as a Christian. I don't want anybody to think that I'm weird. I don't want anybody to think I'm strange. Why, you're a fanatic. It's like the one woman said to me on Thursday. She said, you're one of those guys that believes the Bible is the word of God, you follow. I said, yeah. I said, I'm one of them. And she said to me, do you believe, she said, do you believe Christian, that the earth was created in 6 days, that the creation was done in 6 days? I said, if God can't do it in 6 days, he ain't God, he ain't worth following. I said, you got a pretty weenie God if he can't do it. Amen. That's what I said. See, I make everybody happy I can. But see, you need to tell people. See, I knew she's speaking toward unbelief, and I just showed her lack of faith in her God. Amen. Everybody else is afraid to do it. Everybody's afraid to say, my God's big. Don't put me in your class with your weenie God. My God's bigger than me. He can think greater than me. He can do greater things than me. That's my God.
Hallelujah.
I have no right speaking small of him.
Amen.
I have no right to compare him to science.
Amen.
Or he ain't my God.
Preach.
See, we need to come to the thing. I'm fired up.
Amen.
See, I asked for fire in my belly. And but hallelujah, I'm telling you, we have diminished him and we need to stop this. When I first came in the church back in the 1980s, I'm going to tell you, people had a big God. You know why? Because it's filled with people who weren't too bright. We just thought God was everything. We were pretty stupid. We didn't know anything but him being a great God and we just followed it. And it didn't matter who else said anything and no matter how big of what they ever thought they were, it mattered not to us. We were so stupid, we believed the Bible. My God, we just, well, God will do this. God will do that. He said. We didn't care who talked about us. And today, we want to be liked. We didn't care. We love God so much, we never paid any attention if anybody else liked us. We didn't even care if anybody else liked us. We didn't care. We thought everybody sure would like him. Boy, you need this God. He's the best thing that ever happened, man. There's nothing like him. He was the only thing on our minds. He's the only thing we thought of. You know, those were the days, you know, you drove back and forth to work and you just wore tapes out. And you got tired of pulling those tapes out of that tape machine because it got in there and raveled up and you'd be pulling. You can't want to save every bit of it. You don't want any of it to get messed up out of there. You want to get it out of there. You get it had wrinkles in it, but who cares? Let's play it again. Stick it back in another round. We're going to hear the word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Had all kind of garble spots in it. We didn't care. Hallelujah. We were listening to the word of God. Hallelujah. We were on fire. Nobody had to get us on fire. We lit ourselves every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No matter what mama says. No matter what the people can say that I'm out of my mind. Yes, the best thing that ever happened to me is I lost my mind and I got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nothing better has ever happened. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Woo! Stand to your feet if you can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My. Woo! Glory to God. Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Lord God, Lord, you're the great lover. Look what you did stepping out of heaven. Look what you did for humanity. Oh, Lord God, Lord, we're a people here who love a God. We love, and you're a God to us. You are God. Hallelujah. And there is no other but you. And Lord God, we're standing before you today. And Lord God, we're after you. We're hungry for something more. We're tired. We're tired of the snacks of Christianity. And we want the meal. We want the whole thing to eat, Lord God. Lord, we're after you. We've heard. People have said so much. So much have been said. But Lord God, we are your children, each one. Each one has the Holy Ghost here today. And Lord God, the Holy Ghost is working in each one, speaking to them, directing them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray fire on them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that they just burn up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. With the glory of God. Lord, we stand in a nation, Lord God, and it's a mess. Lord God, Lord, what's done in Christianity, Lord God, the people that are speaking truth, Lord God, their voices have been overshadowed by the voices of the many who have been spoken and said things. But they've been lies, Lord God. Lord, and they haven't changed the lives. Those words don't change lives of men. Father God, we're standing among people. The majority are going off to eternity without hell, without Jesus Christ. Lord, if they leave this earth, it's not going to be good. It's to doom, to eternal judgment. Father God, I pray, Lord God, for your fire to fall on us. Lord God, you said, you gave a vision to the prophet Kenneth Hagin, and he said he saw the ball of fire. He saw that ball of fire coming out of the sky. He saw it come down, and it broke up, and those sparks went out, and they fell on the head and the hands of men and women. It fell on them, Lord God. Lord, we want those sparks falling on us in the name of Jesus. We want the true gospel again preached, Lord God. Lord, the saving gospel that we heard that revolutionized and changed our lives and turned us from sinners to saints. Hallelujah. Lord God, it made a people who love God. And I want to thank you. You're going to raise them up in this next day. The true gospel is going to go forth again in the name of Jesus Christ. Men's hearts will be changed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're not going to lie to make friends for ourselves. But hallelujah, we're going to bring people to Jesus. And they will love Him. They will adore Him. They will chase after Him. Hallelujah. And that's where, just as we chase Him, we want them chasing Him. Hallelujah. We want Jesus back in the forefront of the church again. That He alone is Lord and no other. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. We're not going to be moved. Hallelujah. We're going to stay on course. Lord God, we're going to keep ourselves teachable. Show us what to do. Hallelujah. Bring revelation to us, Lord God. We'll cherish it. We'll use it. We'll walk in it, Lord God. Hallelujah. We'll not turn it away. Whatever you command us, we'll do it. Hallelujah. We'll walk in it, Lord God, for Jesus to be magnified. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Lord, we're expecting mighty and great things. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you. I thank you for anointing me. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I want to walk in this anointing to preach your wonderful and glorious words. Hallelujah. The God that changes man. Hallelujah. Father God, how wonderful it is. Thank you for letting me preach. Thank you for letting me speak your words. One more. Lord, there couldn't be a greater office to stand in than a man is allowed to speak the words of God. There's nothing more glorious that could be put in. Lord, there's nobody stands in a higher office in this land. Hallelujah. Than any believer that can speak the word of God. Hallelujah. And Father God, Father, I ask you in these days and in this time to raise this people up. Hallelujah. Lord God, that fire falls on them. Lord, that they become the preachers of this day and time to this valley. Hallelujah. And not just to hear. I thank you, Lord God, they'll set this place on fire and they will go from place to place. Hallelujah. Carrying the glory of God, preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Of Jesus Christ that changes man. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brakotishna bemvrote gesale ki ikata shonde vrote fese vrando goshika non barate go de goshika halakusina. Oh, you pray, you sang this morning and said you wanted to be saturated by the anointing. Well, do you? I ask today, do you? Do you want to? If you want to, I will saturate you. You come after me. Hallelujah. And I will be after you. You come after me and I will pour myself out on you. For if you desire me, says the Lord, I desire you, for you're mine. I bought and paid for you with a price, and you belong to me, and you're my treasure. Hallelujah. So come forth to me. Hallelujah. For I'm the one that can answer you. I'm the one can give you what you really desire and need, and I will pour my spirit out on you, and you will know me like you have never known before, and you'll walk where you have never walked before, and your voice will become my voice, says the Lord, and glory will be seen on the land. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.